Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity, revelation and manifestation. You are now listening live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Elagun Oloye Hoodoo Obeah Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, revolutionary, healing, and holistic from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is truly and indeed a blessing, you can just see beyond the veil, for it's all just an illusion and a test in one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my personal ever-living reality. It is crucial to the very foundation of my understanding, my teaching, my walk, my works along this divine, all-blessed life path and journey. It is how I, the divine prince, all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth. And it is my personal place of power and understanding, the place from where I begin, the place from where I realize and crystallize all my endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny, and I alone create and co-create my divine, all blessed reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Monday, May 7th, 2018. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum, universally, from this working temple of the House of the Divine Prince, Thai Pochin, Hoodoo Central, Black Hawk Voodoo, in this legendary, historic, beautiful, and most enchanted city in America, New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist hoodoo obeah life path and journey, passing down that great obeah stick, along with the knowledge of the healing, life-giving herbs, roots, plants, rituals, spirits, and minerals. I'm always honored and appreciative of those of you who do join me here at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time for the Power Lunch, Revolutionary Hoodoo New Orleans Voodoo Secret Piece here on Blog Talk Radio. .com/the-divine-prince. And of course, my listen in and call in number is area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you have a question, comment, or request, please do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. My website, of course, where I can be reached utilizing various means virtually 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year is www.houseofthedivineprince.com. All is a blessing. This Monday, May 7, 2018, we have inaugurated our first female mayor of New Orleans in 300 years, our first Black female mayor of New Orleans in 300 years. And indeed, there's a lot of energy and excitement. And the second line, of course, many of the events are taking place literally in my yard, right here at Mahalia Jackson Theater, Armstrong Park, Congo Square. And almost everybody who cares is present here for this illustrious event. It also chimes in, because I don't have a lot of time in a 30-minute show, with the idea of revolution. I wanted to talk a little bit about revolution today. What is revolution? And when we look at revolution from a textbook perspective, an underthrow, a repudiation, and a thorough replacement of an established government or political system by the people governed, sociologically, a radical and pervasive change in society and the social structure, especially one made suddenly and often accompanied by violence. And then third, a sudden, complete, or marked change in something. A procedure or course, for example, a circuit, regenerating back to the starting point, a cyclical process, a spherical process, always with a clear understanding of a center, the axis, if you will, a turning, a rotating around, has to have a point of connection, a center, the axis, the subject matter. So when we look at revolution, Haitian Revolution and its opening up revolution in all of its various forms for freedom and liberation for the enslaved African in the New World, but there had to have been not only a political revolution, but something that had to change in the mind, in the body, in the spirit, in the culture, in our activity, and what we said, what we thought, how we operated within ourselves, among ourselves, had to be a prelude to revolution. There is no political revolutionary change without addressing how we think, how we live, what we eat, and that affects on how we think and how we live. There is no revolution without a physical revolution, without a mental revolution, without a spiritual revolution, without some form of emotional revolution. A common question, not just that I see it, you know, in social media, but I get directly, a common response that I get directly is, brother, I like what you do. I just want to learn voodoo. I don't need to know all that other stuff you be talking about. As if you can truly understand voodoo, operate in voodoo, operate in the realm of magic and spiritual manifestation without history, without knowledge of self, without knowledge of plant life and the changing plant life from the time of our ancestors. Our most recent ancestors arriving into this new world, and then what is available to us today. How do we look at and talk about voodoo without talking about commercialism and botanicas and people thinking, you know, you can buy a $5 bag of dried up product from offline and get the same thing you would get from fresh cut, fresh cultivated product. We want instantaneous gratification. We want lotto magic. We want bring my man back magic. We want make my woman love only me forever kind of magic without any foundation. We want luck, to use a Western word, luck. The only equivalent word to luck that I can conjure up, if you will, in the remaining 15 minutes of this show is Ajay. Ajay. In Yoruba language, Iyami means my mother. In Yoruba cosmology, the mother's role as the force of creation and the sustainer of life and existence elevates the mother to the realm of the divine. Consequently, Iyami, with alterations in vocal tones, becomes Iyami or Iyami, which means my mysterious or divine mother. Ajay is a Yoruba word that signifies the biological and spiritual power of the Africana woman that has mirrored potential, including but not limited to powers of elemental, biological, and artistic creation, healing, destruction, spiritual and physical development and fortification, and political organization and empowerment. In the archives of existence, Ajay in Yoruba cosmology, ontology, and orature, the author Teresa in Washington Divine, Ajay as a force that is beyond definition. But English approximations for Ajay would be power, creation, cosmos, all that is. Given the foregoing, Iyami Ajay would be most appropriately defined as my divine mother or unfathomable mother. And so it's very appropriate today in the inauguration of our first female Black woman mayor, but also hours away from our annual Western celebration of Mother's Day, to talk about power. You can use the word luck. I don't use the word luck. You can use that word. And it's direct association to not something that's magical and instantaneous and happens without us, you know, investing anything, but something that is deeply ingrained in who we are and is passed down through us, within us, through our mothers, our great mothers and our grandmothers and our powerful women leaders. Iyamiaje are known by many praise names, which include but are not limited to Iyami Osorongo, Awan Iyawa, our mothers, Ilaye, owner of the sacred bird, Iyanla, elders of the night, old and wise ones, the gods of the society, Aye, meaning earth, and Aje, as the later term signifies, both the power and the individual wielding it. In Yoruba cosmology, the god Odu is the creator of the universe and all that thrives within it, the originator of the existence and the womb of all origin. Yoruba spiritualist Samuel M. Papella reveals in the Odu is the Aje. Africana women, a direct biological and spiritual progeny of Odu, are said to inherently bear some aspect Aje within her. Aje is primarily associated with women because of their essential role in conceiving, caring, birthing, nurturing children, nurturing humanity. However, Africana men, including African gods, can also have and be Aje. Opiola reveals that any Orisha regarded in creation, childbirth, protection of a town, also possesses the power that is Aje, including Obatala, Sempana, who we know as Babalu Oye, Ogun, Odudua, to name just a few. However, with its origins cosmologically in Odu, the womb of existence, and biologically in the menstruating, conceiving wombs of existence, it is the Africana woman as the owners and controllers of Aje. Because of its scope and power, Aje is feared and revered by many. Some individuals have attempted to demonize Aje by translating the word as witch or witchcraft. But Aje and witch are not culturally, historically, politically, or spiritual synonym concepts. Using the term witch is especially dangerous because in many African communities, the accused can be ostracized or lynched because of false accusations. Ayo Adeduntan's article calling Aje witch in order to hang her, Yoruba patriarchal definition and redefinition of female power, analyzes the impact of the misuse of the term witch in Yoruba society and the necessary usage of culturally appropriate, accurate Yoruba terms. In some cases, to protect the bearers of power and avoid confusion, terms such as elders of the night, Aye and Awan Iyawa, may be used in place of saying Aje outright. And women are said to yield great power because they hold the secret of creation given to them by Olodumare, by God. According to an Ifa in Ose Otura, an Odu in Ifa Ose Otura, the history of Iyami goes back to the founding of the world, and when male immortals tried to form the world without the female immortal Oshun. Oshun is identified as the head of the Iyami of women, as she was gathered the women to protest the foundation of the world by the male primordials. The male failed, and it was only when they included Oshun that the world could be formed. The story is also shared in Osameiji as Odu or Odudwa, being the only female among three other male Imoles, and being given the power of motherhood and Aje by Oludumare, which carries inherent power of motherhood that must be respected. Other lineages suggest that Yemaya is the leader of Iyami by being the owner of Galete, a society devoted to Iyami. Others say that Oya is the owner of Aje and Iyami as the owner of Galete. Ando state lineages point to the first Iyami when a vulture visited two women who were looking for a form of currency, and the vultures vomited up cowries. As these stories come from ancient oral traditions, the details and specific Orisha may change from lineage to individual town to various ethnicities. Also, as I've said in previous shows, we study and attributed a great deal of this knowledge and wisdom and information to the Yoruba specifically. But many of the ethnic groups in West Africa have either intersecting stories to many of the forms of them within their own language, within their own culture. Aje predates Yoruba. Aje is an ancient power that predates the arrival of the Yoruba to West Africa by millennia. While the town of Ota, Nigeria, is a town most readily associated with Aje, Aje has always flourished in Africa and in the lands of the diaspora to which they traveled either by their own volition or as victims of slavery. Aje are known to preside over the market, and the Iolode serves as the head of commerce and business in Yoruba towns and cities. Iyami Aje also continue to occupy essential positions of power in Yoruba sacred societies and political institutions. Iyami become demonized as more patriarchal regimes came into power under Abrahamic faith, causing many to go into secrecy to avoid persecution, possible death. The influx of Abrahamic faith and the European witch hunts of Europe during the 1700s coincided with the influx of Islamic and Christian colonization and the slave trade in West Africa. Traditional ceremonies once performed by women became the domain of men. In some cases, rulers prohibited women to ensure that they would not participate. The Galede Festival helped to ensure the reverence and praise of Iyami Aje would not disappear or be silenced. During these festivals, entire communities gather to thank and praise Iyami Aje for their protection and support for the community. The Galede Festivals reverses Iyami as God and ancestral mothers, and not reverses, reverence Iyami as God and ancestral mother. And one of the most heralded aspects of Iyami Aje is Galede in Iyami Osorongo form, who is also honored as Iya Inla, the Great Mother, and is represented by a white mask during the Galede festivals. We cannot assume, and I dare say have documentation that would support the survival of Aje through the Middle Passage into slave culture, if you will, for lack of better words, and survived in Black culture. Some aspects of Aje became masked behind what was said to be wives' tales. Some aspects of Aje were masked and held and great respect by our doulas and our midwives and those women who babies and brought the next generation into the world. But not only birthed babies and brought the next generation into the world, but also would have had secrets of medicine. In antebellum North Carolina, ownerships of enslaved included the right to the treatment, direct treatment of the sick. So when you were injured or became ill or sick, the slave owners determined what may or may not happen to you. As they did with their own families, slaveholders usually tried to treat sick and injured slaves themselves by consulting a physician. Doctors were called only for life-threatening cases. Then slaves were treated with the same medicines and therapies that whites relied on. Health issues often brought slaves into conflict with their owners, since they had very different beliefs about the causes and treatment of illnesses. So right there, we know that if not just the survival of the word Ajay, the power, the fear of the magic associated with Ajay was ever present, even into slave culture. Enslaved African Americans drew upon their own healing tradition. Many distrusted the harsh therapies used by white physicians in the 1800s and concealed their ailments from their owners. It was one way they could maintain a degree of control over their own body, over their own lives. When it came to healthcare, slave communities maintained a long tradition of self-reliance. They preferred to treat themselves or receive treatment from other slaves rather than accept the therapies of slaveholders and white physicians. So they cultivated herbs in their gardens, gathered plants in the wild, and relied on the knowledge of friends and relatives. They had treatments for a wide variety of illnesses and injuries, including wounds inflicted by whippings. With their years of experience in developing and treating children, enslaved midwives and older women often had extensive knowledge about herbal and home remedies. Many became midwives to their mistresses and other white women as well, a valuable service for which the slave owner would be paid. Healing traditions in slave communities were grounded in African thought. As in many cultures, sickness was attributed to spiritual and social as well as physical causes. Good health, but also on harmonious relationship with your neighbors, your ancestors, and the spirit. And like their African ancestors, slaves generally believed that some illnesses were caused by conjure, evil spells placed by conjure doctors with special powers. Traditional wisdom held that only another conjure doctor could help, although some slaveholders tried to suppress what they thought was practices thrived among slave communities, often out of sight of whites. So those of you who are looking for, you know, the documented voodoo book that traveled from East Africa to West Africa through the Middle Passage and somehow made its way, you know, to your Google or Bing search, you're looking for something that does not exist. And you cannot, will not understand voodoo, ATR, indigenous culture and tradition, magic and ritual without studying botany, without studying plants, without studying archaeology, without studying history, without studying math, without studying geometry, without studying many, many sciences, arts, in order to give you a 360 degree level of understanding of what we are operating in. We acknowledge our great mothers for not only their love and their compassion and bringing us into the world and bringing forth the seed, you know, and all this other very Hebraic, Arabic, Eurocentric, you know, sort of coded language that we like to use today. But we somehow don't acknowledge the power in the mother's hand, the power in mom's soup, the power in mom's broth, the power in mom's milk, and how that plays into what we now, in modern terms, describe as luck. The power of the prayer, the power of the blessing given by the mom. And of course, there's a reverse energy to that. The mother that's neglected, the mothers that are abused, the mothers that gave themselves and sacrificed for, you know, ornery, disrespectful children. All those things play into how we view today luck. And when we try and placate IJ, appropriate IJ, feed IJ and gain favor from IJ, we can only do so through our works, our deeds, our endeavors that we do directly within the community, from our hands, from our hearts, from our minds, from our spirits. It is through our creative power that IJ has its most appropriate manifestation in our lives. As always, I've talked myself way beyond time. I appreciate those of you who always call in and listen. I absolutely appreciate those of you who would press number one, ask questions, ask comments, be a part of future conversations here with the revolutionary Hoodoo, New Orleans Voodoo Secrets and Recipes, the Divine Prince Ty Mecca here on Blog Talk Radio, reminding you that all is truly and indeed a blessing. Until next time, Ashe.
Congo Square. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. A sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omus Indians prepared this place for us centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our hosts, the Omus Indians, they pushed aside our hosts. The colonizers came and pushed aside our hosts and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment, but nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang, we beat, we be, we was and is. Hail Congo Square, Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated, retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat, heart, beat, heart, be at this place, be, heart, beat, be, we, beating, place in new world space. Beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together. Circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end. Connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with. Hello. Out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter, no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades. Eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Beat. So. Congo Square. Be. Congo Square. Be. Remember. Remember.